Welcome back, readers and romance seekers, to Behind the Page. I am very glad that you're here with me today, and I am so very glad to be back behind the microphone. Thank you all so much for your patience. Clearly, it's gotten very difficult for me to be able to get these episodes out as I properly planned, but life changes so dramatically when you become a parent, and doubly so when you become a foster parent. Hopefully I can catch up properly soon. It's hard work, but it's worth it. And I'm also going to say that we really do need so many more foster parents. So if you're at all curious about the process or you want to help kids in these families, maybe take a look into becoming a foster parent for your state. With the holidays coming up, these kids are going to need homes, and at least we can get them a warm place to sleep so their families can help get them back home sooner. I also got hit with a mild flu, and unfortunately the tragedy is that when I get a cold or a flu, I'm usually coughing and congested for weeks afterwards. I hate it. I can finally breathe through my nose again, though I'm still coughing a bit, but now I can get behind the microphone again and talk to all of you. So anyway, let's get into Katie's Catch one more time. This was a hilariously fun read for me because, yes, I also pole dance. Now, I got into pole dancing through probably a more unconventional path, but I think it's funny. I think it's amusing all the same. So my technical advisor is Korean. It's relevant, I promise. He watches a lot of Korean media, including creators on YouTube. One of his favorite creators is a bodybuilder, former Special Forces soldier named Kim Kaedan. Fun fact, the guy on the channel is bald, and Kaedan means egg, so basically I guess he's making fun of his egghead. but his channel covers a wide range of topics, from military techniques to comedy skits to physical training and education, to showcasing other workout methods beyond just weightlifting, what he does. On his channel, he visited another YouTuber, Nyang Pol. She runs a pole dance studio in Seoul, and side note, her studio is so pretty, it's ridiculous. Her style of pole dance is a lot more classical ballet than sexual pole dance, and she's honestly incredible. So, you know, after the usual internet rabbit hole, mostly consisting of Nyang Pol's videos and other Korean pole dancers, I was mentioning, wow, God, they look so cool, that looks so fun, and my technical advisor suggested that I find a local studio to try it out for myself. So I did. Pole dancing has become one of my absolute favorite ways to work out. I love experimenting with styles, and most of all, I'm shocked at what my body can actually do. You look at a lot of really professional pole dancers, and you think, there's no way I could do that. Not just because it's, quote, sexy, but because they exhibit a skill and athleticism that defies belief. And then I found myself doing those same moves and techniques that I thought I could not do. I really can't stress enough how empowering it is. There's a move that I love called the layback. How to describe that without a visual medium. Basically, I'm hanging upside down on the pole with one of my legs hooked around the pole, and I'm basically just hanging like a bat, I guess you could say. And it's really cool. It's just so goddamn cool. And I couldn't do it for the longest time. There's a lot of pole moves that I still can't do. Inverting is what you call it, basically when the pole dancer is able to bring their butt up over their head. I can't do that because my core strength is weak. I have to accept that. But I wanted to get that layback. I had to get the layback. So I did something really stupid. I signed up for my studio showcase performance, just like Katie did, with the full intention of performing a piece with a layback in it. I made it a focal point of my piece. And then I spent the next 3 months essentially panicking that I bit off more than I could chew. Forget the layback. What the hell was I thinking that I could put on a public performance in front of not just strangers, but in front of my pole dancing peers, trainers who could dance way better than I ever could. I had to fight back every single solitary voice in my head that told me that I was garbage, that I wasn't fit enough, that I wasn't graceful enough, that I wasn't good enough. I had to beat those voices into a bloody pulp, bury them in the backyard, and forget about them. I pushed through, I put on the performance, and I got my layback. Was it an amazing performance? No, but I did it. After the show, my technical advisor said, "It was very you." I mean it when I say that it was empowering. Pole dancing is one of those things where you think you can't, but it's actually a lot closer than you think. Today I've got my own pole to work on in my own time at home. It's fun, and if you've ever been curious, I can't recommend it enough. Loopit makes one of my favorite poles, by the way. Just if you're curious, if you want to get one for yourself. And for Katie in her last novel, empowerment was exactly what she got. I mentioned that I loved how her pole dancing journey mirrored her emotional journey as she reclaimed herself after her abusive marriage. I loved the fact that her interactions were not only limited to the romantic hero. She built a community, she found friendship, and learned how to be okay with herself. I love the fact that beyond her abusive ex, no one gave a single fuck about Katie's weight. They all loved her and encouraged her. I love that our hero fell head over heels for her reason beyond the physical, and I love the fact that he was already digging her physical body. Fit, our other plus-sized novel, it falls flat compared to Katie's choice. So much emphasis was put on the heroine's size and fit, where Katie was just allowed to be Katie. Our author is a pole dancer herself, and it's obvious when you read it. There might have been a little too much pole jargon in the novel, but as a dancer, I didn't really mind it. But the author has a legitimate connection to her subject matter, and that love and care is obvious in her book. She literally knows what it's like to be on that pole and what it can do for you. And because I've had my own pole dancing journey, I was able to make that connection and empathize with Katie as she learned. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen off the pole. I can't tell you how many days I've had where it's just not flowing. But I can tell you that for every day that sucks on a pole, there's another day where I shine. There's just something about doing a physical activity that you thought was beyond your reach and then just doing it. Anyway, I've overshared long enough. Let's hop on over to what Heather's reading this week. And I'll actually start with the podcast, Maintenance Phase. It's hosted by Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs, and they debunk diets and decode fat phobia. It encompasses a lot more of that. For instance, there is a lot more white supremacy and eugenics philosophy inside of a lot of dieting advice. Woo-hoo-hoo. Anyway, but I thought it was relevant considering our book for the week, and honestly, it surprised me how much I was challenged on my preconceptions. There were times when I was uncomfortable listening to them talk about the damage caused by fat phobia, and I'm actually kind of thrilled. I need to be challenged, and I can use the practice responding to those challenges. It made me rethink the way that I consider the word fat or plus size. That's why I was feeling weird about plus size in my podcast episode last week. It even took a swing at something called person first language. That's a technique I learned at Disney. It's basically a way to put the person first before the disability. So for instance, they will say, "I have a guest in a wheelchair," or "My guest here has autism and they need one of those line passes." It turns out that person first, while it seems inclusive, can actually be really harmful. And when I first heard about the fact that person first could be harmful, I was, oh no. And I, you know, my little hedgehog spike started poking up. I was like, no, this is, I'm taking care of the person first. But when the individuals with these needs are saying, hey, this stuff is harmful, we have to sit up and listen. The person first language thing, that's going to take a lot of time to decode from my brain because Disney training, for whatever reason, is really sticky. I still can't point at something without two fingers. And I've been separated from the company since 2016, so I've got some decoding to do. But anyway, I highly recommend Maintenance Phase. It's been healthy for me to unpack a literal lifetime of social brainwashing and maybe pick out some of that body dysmorphia that I've been dealing with lately. It's been uncomfortable. But hey, look, the pole dancing helps with that too. But the other thing that I've been reading is What's Once Was Mine by Liz Braswell. This is another in the Twisted Tales from Disney, and yes, despite how I feel about the company, I still come crawling back to their media. If the title hadn't given it away, it is a twist on the film Tangled. Instead of the queen drinking a potion from the sundrop flower to save her life, she instead drinks a potion from the moondrop flower on accident. And that changes a few things, notably how the story plays out, of course. Rapunzel had been locked away because now her hair was dangerous. When she's just a little tiny baby born with beautiful hair, which was unusual, and one of the maids was brushing her hair, it hurt Rapunzel, and because babies are gonna baby, they're gonna cry. And unfortunately, while the maid was brushing her hair and Rapunzel cried, the maid died. So now her hair is dangerous instead of healing. So she wasn't stolen by Gothel. Basically, the king and queen needed someone who could care for Rapunzel while protecting the royal family. So Gothel was one who showed up. She's still there. Yeah, Gothel's still in the story, but she's still evil. But the relationship is a little different now. Rapunzel has a lot to learn about her hair and her changing powers. What I loved about the story was that they involved a lot of pagan mythology. You know, mother, maiden, crone, witchcraft, that kind of stuff, like proper witchcraft. It was great. Rapunzel has powers from the moon, and just as the moon shifts, so does her power. It doesn't just kill. It can change and create, and it can maybe help save lives. It all depends on what the moon is doing. The other thing that makes the story really different is that it's a framed narrative. Essentially, it's a story within a story. It's told by an older brother to his teenage sister who is sick from cancer and chemo. Personally, I really liked that approach, giving us insight into certain story choices, why things were the way they were. And they also brought a lot more historical aspects into the novel. It was really fun. It's probably going to be one of my favorite twisted tales. But that will be it for me this week, everyone. I will see you next time as we read American Prince by Sierra Simone. Get ready. Oh boy. Thank you for joining me, readers and romance seekers, and I hope to see you once again for Hopelessly Romantic. If you like the show, please visit us at hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. If you have questions or want to recommend a read, please email us at contact@hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. The show is written and produced by me, Heather Songster. Our technical advisor is Kwang Yan Cho. Hopelessly Romantic is an H with K production. And it doesn't matter what you read, only that it's what you love.